We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us normally on Wednesdays at 3 o'clock, but today's Thursday because he was doing his other job yesterday at 3 o'clock, is one Larry Anderson. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Spike. How you doing?
Great. I'm going to ask you a question that might make you as insane as it made Ike yesterday, as Jack asked us, made Ike insane. Is it possible for a baseball team to peak too soon?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't believe so, now.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You can start off good and you can stay good for the whole year. That's certainly happened before.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's certainly been good teams that have been good the whole time.
Nothing wrong with that, right, L.A.? I mean,
yeah, I think the concern here is that people, when things are going well, people are waiting for the other shoe to drop. And with the Phillies the last 2 years, that what has worked is, at least to an extent, starting off slowly and then just sort of hitting their stride before and during the playoffs. And I think the concern here is they've never seen them like this before, this version of this team.
Right. But I mean, we didn't start doing anything till June. But now without Turner in there, I mean, it'll be like, you know, come back sometime in June, it'll be like a rejuvenation of what, or a replay of what we've done the last, you know, make things even better. Getting his bat back in the lineup, I certainly believe that would help. Not that it's been a problem to this point, but yeah, I don't think there's any reason this team can't go on hot streaks throughout this summer and stay where they're at.
You know, winning 100-some games would certainly be a welcome, exciting thing for the Phillies.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening. I forget which game. I think it was when Cody Clemens hit the home run, and then you had complimented Topper on what a great feel he has. And I was watching Christopher Sanchez with Turnbull behind him, and Sanchez had a shaky couple of starts, but then ended up, you know, really pulling it together in the last start. I thought about what you were saying, and I thought, does Topper know that making Turnbull the bullpen guy behind Sanchez, does that kick Sanchez in the ass a little bit, you know, and make him think about it?
I'm sure he might have thought about it, but I expect Sanchez, and I've said this from spring training and from the end of last year, I think Sanchez is going to be the pitcher like we saw his last time out. I think the weather has made a big factor, and his changeup is such a field pitch. He's pitching in terrible weather, you know. And I was like, I've just kind of given him a break. He is younger. He's experience-wise. So getting him in there in a regular rotation every fifth day or whatever day it's going to be, and with decent weather, I expect him to do well. I really do. I think we'll see a lot more games like we saw this last one versus the couple starts before.
when you look at this team, LA, it's not much to be concerned with, right? When you look at this team, they have, I think percentage-wise, the best record in baseball. Trey going down for 6 weeks. Seems like they have the depth there to be able to withstand this. Interesting question here as we look at the defensive deployment of the guys. You got Stott over there at shortstop, right? And you got Witt playing over there at second base. I'm just saying hypothetically. Stott plays over there for the next 6 weeks, hypothetically, and is playing a gold glove type of shortstop defense. Is there any chance he stays as shortstop, or when Trey Turner is ready to come back, he's our starting shortstop?
I think Turner comes back as our shortstop.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that Stott can't do what Turner does at short or do better or worse. I think the stability of keeping Turner at short and Stott at second, where he's been, you know, for the last year. I think it solidifies things, I think, for both of them. They're not changing positions. And I think they'll go back to what they originally had, or what they had at the start of the year before he got hurt.
And I totally agree with you, LA. And I said this, you know, athletes are, we're wired differently. And I can only imagine, you know, I've never been in that category of a Trey Turner or anybody of that ilk. So a star athlete or star player in a position, I can only imagine his mindset. You start to mess with a player's mindset when you do things like switching them out of positions, especially if it's just due to someone being injured. And I just don't think that would be good mojo on the team or in the clubhouse.
No, I mean, the perfect example to me, just, you don't have to look too far. Look at Kingery. Look at this guy, played gold glove second base through the minor leagues. He gets the big leagues, and he never plays the position where he probably could have won a gold glove. They move him to third, to center, to short, but never play him at second. And I think, I think they just did a huge disservice to him. Obviously, he got paid for something he never did in the major leagues. But I think that's happened. I think that's a perfect example of what you're saying. You change a guy's his mojo head-wise, and it can mess him up. And I think that's one of the things. I think just the stability of doing things, or what they've been doing, you know, before he got hurt, keeping it that way, I think keeps everything kind of on an even keel. And besides, I'm not going to disagree with you, because I heard you a while back, like maybe a week ago, when you were ranting and raving. I was like, oh, man, I had never want to piss that guy off. Whoa, mercy. But I tell you what, man, was it good to hear.
Yeah,
made me feel a little better.
That was one of those blacked out moments, LA, where I, you know, just it was all emotion that day, all passion and emotion.
I loved it.
Let me ask you this about Bryce, man. Bryce seems to be finding that sweet spot up there at the plate. What are you seeing different with him being at bat? I saw in the last game, I think, where he said Trey. Saw some video of some of his old swings.
Trey's the hitting coach now.
Yeah. I saw that. So that may be helping out. But what are you seeing differently with Bryce that seemingly is getting him back to being the Bryce Harper that we know?
I honestly don't really see a whole lot different.
Okay.
Obviously from our spot, I don't see the swing much the same. I think early on he was trying to hit everything, you know, 800 feet is what it seemed like. And now he's like into his groove. He's into his swing, and just it gets to the point where, and he almost did it again yesterday. You know, flies out to the wall. I think he's just confident with where he's at, and he's also, you know, the big moment. He loves those situations. He loves to come up and be the guy that's going to put him over the top, and I think he lives for that. He thrives on it, and. If some guys don't like it. Some guys are a little afraid of success. Honestly, it sounds crazy, but it's true. Some guys, they fear being too successful. Harper thrives on being successful, and he's one of those special people. When he gets in big situations, he just seems to come through. It's like a red light player, you know, that red light, that camera's on him a big time. He's going to come through, and he's been doing it, you know, pretty much his whole career. I think definitely done it a lot here. So I think he's just finding his groove and getting to where he's comfortable in the box, and nothing's really going to faze him.
LA, my one concern about this team is the best right-handed reliever after Jeff Hoffman. Now, Sir Anthony, are we starting to see some signs of life the last couple of outings? Maybe a little something there?
I tell you what, 99 and 100 yesterday. Now, I know he was missing. One of the things I saw for me is like he's pitching in with his foot in the middle of the rubber. Most right-handers, unless it's a big sinker ball guy, pitch from the third base side of the rubber. So to me, if you move his foot 4 more inches over towards the third base side, those fastballs he's missing by 3 or 4 inches outside that were balls. No question they were balls, but if he's moved over 4 inches on the third base side of the rubber, those balls are on the outside corner, and nobody's going to do anything at 98, 99 where he was throwing those pitches. And maybe that's, I don't know if it changes anything or if, you know, it's not for me to go and tell a guy what he needs to do when they've got, you know, 14 pitching coaches and coordinators and all that. that's up to them and up to Sir Anthony. I think one thing that's hard, and it surprised me, is that so many guys, the guys that do have good command, when you look at catchers all around the league, like, they don't move. Ever since they started getting down on one knee, so I guess apparently the umpires can see better, which I think it's a crock, but anyway, that's one of the things they said, and everybody does it. Every catcher gets down on one knee now. They get down on one knee. You know when you look at a target, like say in archery, and you look at the target, you see the whole big target, the big circle, and then right in the middle is a bullseye? That's what you want as a catcher. That's what you want. You're throwing at that target, and the glove is the bullseye in the middle. Now, if your body's sitting down in the middle of the plate, you're down on one knee, and the glove always sits about thigh high, maybe between the belt and the mid-thigh. That's where the glove sits, in the middle of the plate. There's not a place for a guy to pick to throw to a shin guard or something like that when your target's sitting kind of on the maybe outer half, when the glove's in the middle of the plate. Just that's just how they sit, and it's like, where are you supposed to throw the ball as a pitcher? I remember when I went down on the rehab, and Lieberthal was in Scranton. He was catching there before he came to the big leagues. And when I got on the mound, I said, first pitch, I want you to sit in the outer half. If I throw a strike, I want you on the corner. And if I throw another strike, I want you off the plate. And, I mean, I had to call timeout twice to call him out to the mound to tell him what I wanted again because he didn't, just didn't register. And then in between innings, I had to tell him again. And then we went out for the second inning. I had to keep telling him because the organization wanted him sitting in the middle of the plate, which I don't understand that, but. I'm like, well, if you got guys that can't throw strikes, maybe you want to sit them in the middle. But for me, I knew where I was throwing the ball, so I want you moving. I want you to move. Do I want to throw the ball? I think it makes it tough on guys today, right now. What are they throwing to? I don't know. Maybe I don't think it's just us. I've seen a lot of catchers doing the same thing, but that's where I don't know, hate that. But that's where analytics say what you're supposed to do. Get down on one knee and just hold your glove in the middle of the plate, I guess. I don't know. But it certainly makes it tougher, and it would be tough for me. I would be going to the catcher saying, I want you here. I don't care what the organization says. They're not going to get released or get sent down if I'm not doing a good job. So I want you doing this for me, and so be it. I mean, if you want me to be successful, you'll do it. If you don't care, then do it how you want. That's just my opinion.
LA, final question from me. Jack said something that made my head spin yesterday when he said...
Just another day.
Yeah, just another day. He said, now, we'll debate what he actually said, but he basically said that Bryce Harper is a better Philly than Mike Schmidt. And it made me sick to my stomach. Curious what your opinion is. Love Bryce Harper, but seems crazy.
I've never seen Harper at third base, so I can't agree with that.
That's a good way of getting out of it.
How many gold gloves has Schmitty got?
Like 10?
10? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Harper's done a tremendous job at first. Is he a gold glover? I don't know. He might win one there. But from that standpoint, I can't say as I agree with Jack.
There we go.
And I don't know. I just...
It's not a negative about Harper. Mike Schmidt's the best third baseman of all time, and he played his entire career for the Phillies. You know,
one of the greatest position players of all time the Phillies have ever had.
Right.
The numbers, the Hall of Fame proves that. No question, I think Harper's a Hall of Famer. He's going to be if he stays healthy and continues what he's doing, certainly. But I don't know. It's tough to compare two guys like that. Like, who's better? I mean, Schmidt did it for how many years? And 500 and however many home runs. To me, that's more of a wait-and-see conversation. You can have that conversation after Harper's contract's done and he's done playing. Then you can talk about it. But for right now, I don't think anybody's better than Schmidt.
Thank you. Thanks.
It was a leading question by Spike. Kid. It was a leading question by Spike.
Well, you've said it.
I said.
Number of times.
Okay. We'll debate it a future time.
Okay.
Don't need to drag L.A. down.
Yes. Don't drag L.A. down.
Do, don't get Ike started, okay? Yeah.
Prisoner of the moment, Jack Fritz over there. So. I appreciate you, L.A.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There it is. So we were talking about Jimmy Butler and whether you want the Sixers to bring him back. Of course, they would have to trade for him. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He's looking for a two-year extension, a max extension. I say no. Jack and Ike say yes. And also, the side question of the day, as we remove Morning Show from Morning Show side.
No one gets it.
No one gets the joke. Is your favorite bad song? Your favorite bad song. Jack's is Smash Mouth, All-Star.
Yep.
Mine is Aqua's Barbie Girl. Ike says Will Smith's entire catalog.
Poor Will Smith.
Yeah. Dustin in the Northeast, do you want Jimmy Butler back?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good interview. Real quick, before I get on the Sixers point, what L.A., he couldn't have cleared up the area even more, because I agree, Jack, I agree with you, dude. I think we can't compare it right now, because what Bryce Harper's doing, if he continues to do this, let's just throw it out there. Say he does this for another 10 years, and let's throw in two championships.
Dustin. He's 31? So you're saying he's going to play at this pace until he's 41, and you're going to give him two World Series victories where currently he has zero, and he's been in the league for 12 years. Bryce Harper is a great player, but you projecting him, by the way, he's got back problems now. He has a pretty violent swing. He's been in the league since he was 18 years old, and you're saying for the next 10 years he's going to keep up this pace and win two World Series? Like, that seems like... Yes, if he plays for 23 years at this pace, then yes, he will be. But that don't you think that's a bit of a stretch?
Are you seeing a slowdown in him? Because every time I see the guy, my jaw is dropping, and it seems like he's getting better and better. I don't want to get caught up on the Phillies. I just think that he has we saw Tom Brady win a championship at 39 years old playing a far more vicious sport. I'm just throwing it out there. But, get to the Sixers. I don't think that you're far off from being the best team in the league. I don't understand. I would not touch Jimmy Butler with a 10-foot pole. Ike, you had this firsthand knowledge. In 2004, do you think bringing in the best wide receiver in a Terrell Owens in his career, do you think that was the best move for Donovan McNabb? Do you think that?
Yes.
Do you think,
yes.
Did we win a championship?
We didn't.
Came real close.
That's cool, but we're not playing horseshoes and we ain't playing with hand grenades. I want to win a championship. Right now, that dummy Daryl Morey needs to get over his infatuation with certain players. Buddy Hield is a sharpshooter. Why he went off in that second quarter of a game where you're in an elimination situation and he doesn't play another quarter, you let 12 minutes go by, you're not far off. You have Joel Embiid. Why are we not talking about a Klay Thompson? Why are we
because
not talking
cooked.
About a DeMar DeRozan? Why?
I like Klay Thompson.
In the league, they're not afraid to shoot. You had a caller a couple minutes ago that was saying Joel Embiid's cooked. We need to get rid of him. If we get rid of him, we will be the armpit in the NBA. This player
armpit?
Is getting triple teams and quadruple teams
we had Maxie.
On every play. I think that you need to build around Maxie and Embiid. I don't think you need a Jimmy Butler. I don't think Jimmy Butler's got Pitbull in him. I need a great Dane. Where if you come and shove me in the shoulder, I'm going to bite you back. But I'm not coming right at your throat right off the gates full aggression. I think that you need to figure out a way
give
to get
me the other dog.
Back.
What?
Yeah.
Give me the other dog.
Ike wants the pity. Yeah.
Here. I hear you. But if you really look at it, you're not that far off. Like, I'll be completely honest with you. If he plays in the Olympics, I am going to be so done with him. Because my main
– MB?
This is the big – Yes, absolutely. You can't stay healthy in 82 games, and now you want to play against the best players in the world in a different
for a Mickey Mouse gold medal, too.
Well, by the way, hold up. Dustin, the best players in the world are in the NBA, not in the Olympics.
An American, dude. He may be by paper. You weren't born in America.
No.
I completely disagree.
Dustin, first of all, these are all different issues. He is an American now. He's a citizen now. So he's an American. So he's as American as you or I. He's a citizen. He can play
well,
hold
for on.
Well, he's a citizen now.
He's as American as we are.
Well, he is. I mean, he's here.
No, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if that really resonates
and,
with everybody.
Well, but the fact that he was born somewhere else, those are the rules. He can play for America. I'd rather him playing for America than Cameroon or France or anything.
Well, he should have played for France.
Why?
Because he agreed
to. Not French
to,
either.
Well, he agreed to.
Well, screw the French. Who cares? the other thing is, and none of us want to get rid of Embiid. I think we're all on the same page with
well,
you.
Well, TR
there.
Did.
Oh, right. We in
none
this
of us,
room.
Yes.
Yeah,
no, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Would you stop?
All right. Dustin, do you have your favorite bad song? A good bad song?
Dude, Ike, this one's for you, dude. I know you used to rock it. I'll play it by myself with the windows down, but not with friends. You Dropped a Bomb on Me by the Gap Band.
Oh, that's a great
song. That's a great song.
Yeah.
You dropped a bomb on me, baby.
That's Uncle Charlie.
Thank you, Dad. This is not a bad song. This can't win because it's not a bad song.
Great song.
Yeah, this is just a straight up great song. I'm sorry. Ever hear that one before?
Yeah, we've talked about it on the show before, so I was forced to figure out who the Gap Band was.
Yeah. Okay. Well, remember we used to do the summer songs, summer vibes.
Oh, Block Party Friday.
Yeah, Block Party Fridays. Remember we used to do that with that was right before you left, I believe.
No, Block Party Friday.
Yeah, me jacking up.
Yeah,
God,
we just play like
just
block
on Fridays we would play just like music you would play
that.
At the block party.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
that's a great tune.
We would come back with returns from like old school music and stuff.
Yeah, I don't.
And Mark's would get mad at me because I don't know. Apparently, I don't know what block party music is, which I got an idea. It's just mine's different.
Just you got different block
yeah,
party
I'm Redneck
music.
Yacht Club by Craig Morgan. Like, what are we? That's music.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think
Redneck
that can.
Redneck Yacht Club. That didn't even go together.
I don't think You Drop a Bomb on Me can qualify. No one thinks that's bad song.
We talked about this. He thinks it's a bad song.
Yeah, but he's wrong. That's just a straight up great song. So, coming up next, Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore spoke today. And believe it or not, Vic Fangio had something to say about Nick Castellanos? Really? That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Maybe you got to hold this one for the Memorial Day weekend Chickie show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when we used to start it.
Oh, really?
Because that was like the, you know, that's the unofficial beginning of
beginning
summer.
Beginning of summer, yeah. Yeah. It's the afternoon show on WIP with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Oh, that's a classic. Yeah, people must have misheard me on Twitter. They thought I downgraded this song.
No.
It's the only good one you said.
Yeah, this is a classic right here. This is my favorite Will Smith song.
That's the only one that isn't good, bad. It's
right.
The only one that is straight
good,
up
good.
Just good, good.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's a difference.
And it's withstood the test of time. What is that, mid-90s? Or was that late, early 90s? When did Summertime come out?
Summertime is I was in high school.
That was early 90s,
I feel like early 90s. Yeah. 90, 91,
92. Later,
yeah.
That song is still a good one.
Yeah. There's a very, very specific difference between good, good, bad, good, and good, bad. And we can tell when you say the name of the song whether it fits. The side question today is your favorite bad song, a good, bad song. Summertime is just a good, good song.
Yes.
Getting Jiggy With It, good, bad song.
Yes.
Miami, good, bad song.
I think I would have to get Miami Jiggy With It. Isn't that like the same song?
Yeah, well, they were all the same song for about 5 years there for Will Smith. I would pick Getting Jiggy With It over Miami, but okay. But you know, what choice are we really making there? So Vic Fangio, Kellen Moore spoke today at the NovaCare facility. And the first Vic Fangio thing I wanted to play you, I thought was funny, is that we've been talking about Nick Castellanos all year long, whether Rob Thompson should give him a day off or not. Apparently Vic Fangio has an opinion on it.
You know, I used to say before they went to 17 games, every one of our games was worth 10 in Major League Baseball, you know, because we had 16, they had 162. So when we lost two in a row, that was like losing 20 in a row in baseball. And, you know, that kind of paints a good picture for people that don't realize that. You know, it's just like with the Phillies here, he's letting Castellanos fight his way out of the slump. You can't do that here. You know, and they wouldn't do that if they were in the playoffs either. They got 162 games.
Well,
yeah,
they kind of do.
Yeah. Might not be right there. So Vic plugged in to what's going on here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Now, there were talks that Vic Fangio could have been here last season. And here's what he had to say about that.
Would you have been here if the timeline of defensive coordinator openings was different last year?
I think that's a fair assumption.
Wow. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy to think what last year would have been like if Fangio was here last year. Do you know what I mean? And certainly Matt Patricia wouldn't have been the defensive coordinator for the last four games of the season, I can tell you that.
No, and he may not even been hired. I mean, what it says is Sean Desai may not have necessarily been their first or second choice. The whole Matt Patricia hiring makes me believe that there was some doubt about Sean Desai as a first-year defensive. I know he was a one-year defensive coordinator. Was it Chicago he had the 1 year, Jack?
Or Seattle? Seattle was technically the defensive coordinator, but Pete Carroll was there.
Okay. But it was only 1 year where I think he was the DC.
Yes.
And you don't bring in Matt Patricia with his resume.
Right.
And not necessarily put him in a position where you want to hire him. It's almost as if they figured it out that it probably publicly didn't look good having Matt Patricia here. And so he kind of flew under the radar. I say all this to say that Fangio probably was their number one choice once they realized Gannon
was going to leave.
That would have been their number one choice. And that's why they were upset, as I guess Gannon wasn't clear to them as to what he was going to do. And it left them in a difficult position. They thought Gannon was coming back. He was planning to leave. Fangio takes a job in Miami. I say all this still saying Vic Fangio ought to be thankful he wasn't here last year.
Right, right. Because he didn't have the personnel.
Exactly. We keep going to the coaches as if it was their fault. Players, I'm not so sure he would have had, because Vic Fangio had players in Miami. And leaving Miami, the players weren't all that high on being coached by Vic Fangio.
He seems like maybe he's one of those guys that just sort of wears out his welcome eventually, like one of those guys.
As
defensive coordinators are wont to do.
I'm thinking of the offensive coordinator that does that, who used to do that. I don't know if he's still in the league. Todd Haley used to be in Pittsburgh, was in Arizona. He was one of those coaches that smart from an offensive standpoint, but he grinded on his players. Yeah. And eventually they just grew tired of being coached by him.
Who's our head coach here for the Flyers? What's his name? Torts.
Oh, Torts.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He definitely has a 3-year shelf life. Yeah.
By the way, almost every hockey coach
is that way. Yeah.
Yeah. They win a cup and they're gone within 2 years.
Well, Keenan was the guy here that everyone thought about as being that kind of guy.
No doubt Torts is gone after next year.
Oh, yeah. It's like he's asking to get fired.
Yes.
The only stuff I see of Torch when I wasn't here is like, boy, that guy wants to get fired, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he doesn't really like being there.
No. Yeah. That's the kind of thing I would say if I wanted to be fired, actually. So I said Kellen Moore also spoke.
Good to hear from him.
Good to hear from these guys. Hadn't heard from Coach Fangio.
Uh-huh.
Do you think A.J. Brown has finally had a conversation with Kellen Moore?
I would hope so.
I think so.
Yeah, they probably had a nice little sit-down. Yeah.
A.J. was here last week.
Yeah, and signed the contract extension.
That's right.
So Kellen Moore, the question has been, is it going to be Kellen Moore's offense? Is it going to be Nick Sirianni's offense? Is it going to be a combination of both? Here's what Kellen Moore had to say about it.
Kellen and the players learning a new terminology.
Terminology, I mean, plays are plays. Words are words. I think it's a combination of things that we can build off of. Hey, if everyone understands a play and it makes sense, let's keep things in place. You know, that's not that complicated. We're continuing to evolve the system to make sure that the language ties together, that the communication can be clean, and whether that word comes from Philadelphia, Los Angeles, or somewhere, we're building that as we go.
So does it come from Philadelphia, Los Angeles, or somewhere in between?
All three.
Oh. It just seems like it'll be harder for Kellen Moore picking language from all three, right?
Well, I hope they get this offense right.
There can't be this many cooks in the kitchen. Like, get out, Nick.
Well,
get out of the offensive meeting rooms. Stop. Like, if you want to be the long-term coach here, then get out of the meetings and let Kellen cook. Oh, my God. This is not going to work. You know it's not going to work. You can't have that many people giving terminology in the offense. They don't even know what it is. They've been installing it for weeks. It's freaking June, May. Like, figure it out. Oh, my God. It's not going to work.
It's like having three hosts on an afternoon show.
I know.
Show.
Like, who would ever think that was a good idea? I mean, 2.5.
That's fair. Is it possible, I ask you both, that Kellen Moore is saying that because publicly it is important that Nick feel like he is not cut out of the offense, and that was a politically correct answer, and the real answer is, we're going to call the place what I call the place. Is it possible?
Sure it's possible. Sure it's possible. And quite frankly, I think it's the correct way to go. I'm a little bit more of a Nick Sirianni fan than most people here in town. Didn't think he deserved to be fired. Quite frankly, I think he's done a much better job than expected from the time that he got hired. Like, he has exceeded expectations. He hasn't failed to meet expectations. He hasn't disappointed. I know there was a disappointing ending to the season last year, and we all want to blame Nick Sirianni because we don't want to blame the players or coaches that we like.
Yes, harder to change all the players than it is one coach.
But I say this to say the organization is showing you what they think about Nick Sirianni. That, like, they're showing you, whether you want to believe it or not, they are showing you what they believe about Nick Sirianni. And it's not about him being the smartest coach and having all the answers in the room. That's not what it's about with Nick Sirianni as the coach here. But at the same time, you can't undercut him or undermine him when you're an assistant under him. Because all that does is we jump on stuff like that. And we create storylines out of it, and next thing you know, we're running with it.
Jim Schwartz, Doug Peterson.
Yes.
The last one that I remember being very clear cut, you know.
And so to your point about Kellen Moore saying it the way he said it, yes, I agree. I think there's a little bit of just massaging the truth there to not necessarily say that Nick Sirianni doesn't have any input. Nick Sirianni has already said it's going to be sort of an evolving type of an offense. So you need to come out and have the same message as the assistant coach.
Jack, you feel better now?
No. Okay. Because Vic Fangio, they're not saying, there's no question on that side of the ball.
Yeah.
I just worry about too many cooks in the kitchen. And we saw this happen with the defense last year, where it's like, who's calling this? Who should we believe? This, that, whatever. Like, I wish there was just one clear message. And even Nick Sirianni, the last time we talked, it was like, yeah, we're meshing everything together. This today, we're blending all this stuff together. Like, I would like more clear direction, because I think it's hard for players to follow multiple different things.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. I think they'll make that clear when it's time to make that clear. But to think that the head coach, who has an offensive background, isn't going to have any input on that side of the football, to me, is just foolish thinking.
It's unrealistic.
Yes, unrealistic, man. It's just not going to happen. So how much he has in say, I think that'll play itself out. And I know it's a different, little bit of a different topic, but I believe a lot of that and what has gone on this offseason has been put in place so that the quarterback reaches his potential, gets back to playing football the way he was playing 2 years ago. You know, these rumors about connectivity and everybody on different pages and this and that and the other, like, how do we know that Brian Johnson being here was not beneficial to Jalen Hurts' growth? I mean, he's the one that's gone. Think about it. If that coaching relationship was prosperous and beneficial for Jalen, do you think they would have fired Brian Johnson?
No, well, it didn't look beneficial because he didn't play well.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So now you got someone else. And maybe this is because, and you hear certain things, accepting coaching.
Right, which we heard with the other quarterback.
Yeah, accepting coaching. So now you got someone who's going to hold you accountable for doing certain things versus being passive with you and allowing you to do things.
The Twitter poll of the day is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mother's Day is Sunday. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Gifts for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Which of these players would you most like to see the Sixers acquire this offseason? 39% for Jimmy Butler, 17% for Paul George, and 44% for LeBron James.
They want the king.
The real king.
Yeah.
The return of the king.
They the
real
the king. King.
So is he a doctor or is he a king now? I can't figure that out with genius.
Oh, he's a doctor. He was so proud last week.
Yeah, Dr. King.
Yeah.
Dr. King, I think is his name.
You want me to roll? Okay, my bad.
Yeah, go ahead.
For years, you heard Dr. Glatt, speaking of doctors.
Yeah, on real WIP, doctor.
On WIP, talking about his amazing services. Right? We know. Bald and beautiful right
I
over
see
here.
It. I see it every day.
See it?
I can vouch.
There you go.
There's baldness and beauty emanating from Ike's chair over there.
Thank you, brother. But not everybody could be as lucky as I am, right? Now, Dr. Glatt and the Glatt Group, they know so many people that think hair restoration is a one-and-done procedure, but that's not the case. The Glatt Group, they have restoration treatments to strengthen before you need a hair transplant, as well as options to maintain your existing hair after a transplant. And their newest option is completely non-invasive. No needles, no pain, and no downtime. It's called TED, which stands for trans-epidermal delivery. Now, it's where the growth factors are delivered directly to the hair follicles, and both men and women are seeing great results from this procedure. What are you waiting for? Give my friends at the Glatt Group a call, always at the forefront of technology. Call them today, 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com. That's 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com and tell them Ike sent you.
Big 345 a day.
Uh-oh. Big V, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Love the show. It's really cooking the day. And look, you know how I feel about Jack.
But Jack don't know
Ain't that the truth. But he's on point with that. But in terms of the Sixers bringing back Jimmy Butler, heck no! What, you lost your mind? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like paying your ex-wife when you marry her because you don't want her to talk bad about you on social media. No! build the team up around Embiid and quit talking about these old guys. First of all, LeBron is going to take all of the Sixers' salary caps, plus, you know, the next 6 years of draft picks. And, you know, Paul George is just too old. He's barely running up the court. Mm-hmm. So, look, get these young dudes, young, strong.
What young dude? What young dude? Give me a young dude. Give me a name.
Oh, man. By the time the Sixers get ready for him, he probably ain't even born yet.
come on.
Oh, Big V. It's not that hopeless.
But no, it's not that hopeless. But, I mean, you know, get some backup big men, you know, a couple of pure shooters, you know, surrounded, build around Embiid because, one, is he's too expensive to trade, and, two, we can't get another big man to fit, you know, half of what he does. You know, but build around the team, build a bigger supportive staff, let him play, you know, two more years, stop talking about the process, and start talking about production.
Big V, do you have a good, bad song for our side question of the day?
I got two, but
pick the
one,
best one.
I think it's the one I consider the worst good bad song has got to be Captain and Tennille, Muskrat Love.
Oh, so I don't know
that one.
So I've seen the song written down, but I wouldn't recognize it if I heard it. Muskrat Love is the title of a bad song. I can tell you that. There's no straight up good song that is called Muskrat Love. Thank you for the call, Big V. Captain Tennille, Muskrat Love.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like people really have wrapped their arms around the idea of trying to win within the next 2 years, 2 to 3 years.
Everybody wants young guys.
He's talking about build around Embiid, get young players.
Joel Embiid's 30. He's probably got 2 or 3 years of his prime left.
Yeah.
Don't worry about somebody being 25. Who cares?
I can't even worry about that anymore. Yeah. I need somebody who has 2 good years left in him.
That's what I care about. 2 years.
Yeah.
I care about the next 2 years.
I'm actually happy about it because Daryl Morey was seemingly being honest with the media when he was talking to the media. He said exactly this.
Yes.
I mean, he said this.
He said, win now.
Yes.
That's what he wants to do. He wants to win. This is what everybody's asking for.
Well, and without like saying Embiid's career is going to end soon, he said, we're in the prime of Joel Embiid's career, and we need to look at this as a 2 or 3 year window.
As they should.
Yes. No, as that's what I'm saying. It's the exact way he should be looking at it.
Jack, which call should I take next?
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
What's your gut saying?
Yeah. My gut is saying that.
Well, we got enough time to get both of them in.
Do we?
Yes.
All right. We'll do both. All right. We'll do Cowboy Jim first. Cowboy Jim, you're on WIP.
Hey, I got a question for Spike and Ike. Is there a drug and alcohol policy with the Eagle players? Do they get drug tested?
I'm sure they do. I think they probably all get drug tested at one point, and then there's random drug testing. That would be
well. There was a certain Eagle player on my flight today that smelled of weed and rudeness permeating throughout my plane today. So much that the passengers were asking me, you know, where's this coming from?
Well, they don't get tested in the off season. They can smoke weed in the off season.
Well, I don't even know if they're testing for that anymore, Cowboy Jim.
Yeah,
Jim, you realize it's legal.
If not 1980.
Yeah, if you think that NFL players don't smoke weed in the off season, I got news for you, buddy.
Yeah, how do you think they ever play football, man? Yeah.
You really are a stewardess, aren't you?
Yeah.
My entire airplane smelled of it. They're looking at me like it's my fault. I'm like, I don't want to say who it is. It's an Eagle player, but I'm just saying it reeks. No. Oh, plus the rudeness, too. And I realize I'll never win the Insider of the Year award.
No,
not with
this. The things that I see and the things that I know, but I'm pretty sure Big Dom would show up my doorstep if I ever said anything.
So yeah, you're already dry snitching right now.
Yeah. Give the guy a break.
Well, because he was rude.
It's friggin' May, man. It's May. Let him smoke his weed.
Spike,
yeah.
Ike and Jack were lying to you yesterday about the Eagle conversation you were saying. They were like, all year long, they were like, the Eagles are fine. They're 10-1. They're fine. I go, that's BS. I was calling in saying they were mediocre.
No, that was me saying they were fine. I'm saying I said they were fine.
And Cowboy Jim, I get the sense that they could be 15-1 with an average point differential of 17, and you'd be calling up telling them that it's not okay. Come on, man.
They were not okay, but they were lying to you yesterday about that.
You're biased.
I am a little bit biased. And hey, Spike, I was censored the other day for my Sam Kennison joke in the movie. boy, I'm glad you weren't censoring the Tom Brady roast, because it would be like, hi, this is a Tom Brady roast, and then goodbye.
Well, the Tom Brady roast was not on the radio.
It was on Netflix,
fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you were censoring the Tom Brady roast, it wouldn't be a no fun time.
And what I'm saying is, I wouldn't be censoring it because it was on Netflix, not the radio. Do you have a good bad song?
Well, anything Wham, but I'd have to say Let's Get Physical by Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Let's Get Physical.
Let's Get Physical is a great tune. And I would good bad song, I think it qualifies. Wham songs are just straight up good. But Let's Get Physical,
no.
I think, yes, they are.
No.
Last Christmas? Are you kidding me? Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
Yeah.
Those are great songs. I don't think they're good bad songs. But Let's Get Physical, I think, does qualify. 215-592-9494. Do you want Jimmy Butler back? I'll do this other one. Andy in Deptford, you're on WIP.
Fellas, we live, we hot. Let's hop right into these Sixers, right? This whole process was sold to us 10 years ago, right? Stripping it down, building it back up, bringing multiple championships, hopefully. Whether it's Embiid always hurt, bad draft picks, whiff on trades we should have made, we made dumb trades that we shouldn't have made. I mean, where is the future with this team? Like, where are they going? You can't sell me with a Jimmy Butler, a Paul George, or a LeBron James.
What would you like them to do, Andy?
What would I like to do? I would like to do what OKC did when they traded Paul George. You got SGA, you got four first-round picks. Look what they did with that. They're young. If you look at these teams,
so no, I'm asking you specifically. And no. I want you to tell me specifically right now, if you were the Sixers, not do what OKC did, specifically, if you were running the Sixers, what would you do specifically?
I just the OKC gave me
No. OKC had Paul George. OKC. Okay.
You gonna let me tell me, I would trade Embiid.
Okay.
And I would get the most amount of whatever I could get for him, because I tell you what, newsflash, we're not winning with this guy, okay? 10 years of this, we can't even get out the second round. We're in the same place we were before this started when we had Iguodala.
Well, that's
second
not true.
Round is our window.
So, couple things, Andy. First of all, what you're talking about is doing the exact same thing that you insulted the Sixers for doing 10 years ago, which was start over with a bunch of draft picks, which you called a scam, the whole process thing a scam. And trading Embiid for a bunch of draft picks would be the same exact thing as what you were saying that they should do. And everybody would complain if they were winning 25 games like Oklahoma City did. Oklahoma City was bad for a few years, just like the Sixers were. So I don't understand how you can be anti-process but also want to trade Embiid. And for you to say that they're in the same position as they were when Iguodala was here is just wrong. They didn't even have a top 30 player at the time, and right now they have a top 5 player. So it's not the same thing. Are we okay?
It is the same thing, because I just don't want draft picks. I want a player and draft picks.
So
OKC
who?
Got S.
So
Wait,
who?
Let me finish.
Who?
Let me finish.
Who?
Damn.
Who?
OKC got
who?
SGA.
Who?
And
who?
I don't know. I'm not a GM.
Okay.
But you got all these young studs. You see the teams that are still around have young studs.
So why would they trade their young stud for your older stud who's hurt all the time?
Spike, are you going to let me talk? You going to cut
no,
me
I'm
off
asking,
every time
no,
I'm
no,
saying
no. This
so.
Is a Andy, all right. This is how it's going to work here. And you're going to sit and listen for a second. Because I'm not going to read tweets from you about the show is better without Spike. I have news for you. I'm not going anywhere. So you have two choices. You cannot call the show anymore, which is fine with me because you don't usually know what you're talking about. Or when you call up, we can have a conversation. The way the show is going to work is you're going to say something, then I'm going to say something, then you're going to say something, then I'm going to say something. It is not your opportunity to do a 4-minute monologue about whatever you choose for the day. So if you're going to tell me that the Sixers should trade Joel Embiid for a bunch of draft picks and a young stud, I want to know what team is going to trade you a young stud and a bunch of draft picks for Joel Embiid. Now the floor is yours.
Clippers trade SGA.
Okay, goodbye. I asked him 4 different times. He is a... The problem with Andy is not that he's a troll. It's not that he calls me Brett. It's not that he says I was a Knicks fan. It's that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He is a stupid person. Andy, you are a stupid person. and I feel bad for you that this is so important to you that you hate me so much, but you feel the need to call anyway. I don't want to hear what OKC did. That's not what I want to hear. They traded for SGA. If you were calling an Oklahoma City radio station at the time and you said trade Paul George for SGA, great. I want to know if you're going to trade Joel Embiid, fine, totally fine. But you don't want to lose, so tell me who the great young player is and who the draft picks are. He is a stupid person. The Jackie Baseball Report is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.